Let's go to Colossians. Just some basic stuff we've talked about many times. The scripture says that we are made in the image, or that's not what it says. God said to the Holy Spirit and to Christ, he said, let us make man in our image and likeness. Image is this incredible word, and it's called tselem. And it doesn't mean we look like God, and this is important to get in your head. It means that we were made a container for deity, literally. And then in likeness, that is the revelation of Christ, because he is the only one that's in the likeness of God. And so in the image of God, fundamentally then, all that we have to do, we've got to change gods. Ever since the cross of Christ, we haven't existed. It's because it said all men die. And all we've ever been is a vessel for deity. But we are a vessel at birth for the evil one. And so we, all that everything is about, is about changing gods. But if you change gods, there's a dynamic thing that takes place. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. That's the whole summary of what we're going to look at for the next couple days. That we must exchange our gods. We can't put the name of God, the real God or the true God, on us, because it's already a vessel for the wrong God. Is that commute at all?
Is that what you're talking about, changing your identity? Did I hear you say that the other day?
Yeah, you're no longer a member of the human race. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Not new in time, not improved in time, by fixing, but an exchange of gods. That's what the whole mystery of Christianity is about. You have to exchange gods. But the old God, the evil one, he dies hard. He's constantly trying to trick you, to find some way to keep you alive. That's his whole purpose. And he never stops. So can you accept that as a premise, at least? All right, so that's really what Colossians is about, especially Colossians 1 and 2, 2 and 3, or wherever we're going. But it's about changing gods. Not giving any... Well, let's let it speak for itself.
It's changing gods and truly sticking with it, if you want to use that term, that would be the completion of the mystery for you.
Yeah, if you never go back to him, you have to leave him alone, the old one. All right, Colossians chapter 1, let's start in verse... this is this famous description of Christ that's overwhelming. We're going to start a little bit before I thought we were going to start. In verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, or the Son of his love. So it's not just a change of gods, it's an exchange of kingdoms. Everybody agree that's what it says? What delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, or the son of his love, is probably a better way to say it. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now all of that is only in this new kingdom. A new everything. In whom we have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now listen to this description of Jesus Christ. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. In all things he might have the preeminence. Not even a reference to the past kingdom. Not only have you been delivered from that kingdom, but you have no more to do with it at all. But this evil one's job, just like he did with Christ, he's constantly trying to get some way to trick you into thinking that you have a part of this.
Okay, can you still be a part of it? We have to be, but not serve it?
No. That's what we're going to find out.
But you got what I tried to say.
Hmm?
You got what I tried to say, not being part of it. But
if you're either in the new kingdom, the kingdom of the Son of his love, or you're in the old kingdom, the kingdom of the God of this world. There's no middle ground. And you have no visiting privileges. That's the meaning of the cross. It's your death as a member of this world and as the one whose God has been the evil one.
We like our little sojourns.
I don't know what that means.
Brief stays.
Huh?
Brief stays.
Brief
stay?
Sojourn.
Stay.
There's a brief visit, a brief stay.
Oh.
Unless I don't know what it is.
For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now these sound really religious, but it's a description of an act. We've changed kingdoms. We've changed who we are. We're no longer the same. We're no longer of this world. There's nothing about us that is of this world. Now we are the kingdom and about everything that's the son of his love. All right. Then we have a big if. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. If you continue in the faith, if is the big if. verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind or lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. So that's all any suffering is about. It's about filling up the affliction. It has nothing to do with you. The purpose of the suffering is to fill up the affliction that is lacking or being tested in the body of Christ. You have no more independent identity. Whereof I, in verse 25, whereof I am made a minister, a servant, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Now, how do you fulfill the word of God? The word must be made flesh in you exactly as it was made flesh in Jesus Christ. And then you're tested by the evil one. He's always trying to get you to lean on your own arm of understanding, to the return to the world for some reason. It's his purpose. He's more subtle than any beast of the field. Your mind, which is the instead of Christ. Now watch. Even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Something new, wonderful, totally different. And again, if we're talking genetic terms, we have a different DNA. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's only the hope. The reason it's only hope of Christ in you, now you must be in Christ. So there's no place left for the old you. It's Christ in you and you in him. So the old you is gone. There's no more reference to it. No more relying on the things that you once relied on. No more trying to serve God and mammon. It's gone. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So that's it. That's everything. We change gods, and we have no visiting privileges to return to the old God. Anybody? Everybody understand this a little bit?
It should bring us peace. We should be...
It does bring you peace. And it's not it should, it does. It's the only peace, because now you're no longer 666, now you're 7. At rest, the Sabbath. Jesus Christ is the Sabbath, but so should you be the Sabbath. You are the Sabbath when you cease from your own labors, as God did from his. And now, therefore, his people are a manifestation of the Sabbath. It's no longer a day of the week. It's a person. But that person has to fulfill and fill up you, every corner, every part of you, so that you now are the Sabbath. If you don't celebrate the Sabbath, you are the Sabbath. Does that compute? What?
Yeah.
Now, let's go to chapter 3. First 11 verses. We're going to read chapter 3, 1 through 11. If, then, you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Now, how do you set your affection? You set your affection by seeing more and more of Him. You can't help it. I mean, it's not a should or an ought to. Excuse me. Oh, God. It's a what is. What are your affections? What does that mean? Set your affections.
What do you worship or what do you love?
Yeah, it's it's really setting your every part of your mind on things above, not on things in the earth. Nothing, there's nothing more. There's no more interest in the world system. Your mind is now on those things which are honest or pure or good report, all those things. But it's never, ever, ever again on things of the earth. Things of the kingdom of the evil one. Remember, the Satan told Christ that God had given him all everything that exists in time and space, and Jesus didn't reject it. All right, let's go on. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. But Christ isn't your life by saying he's your life. Christ is your life when Christ is your life. Mortify, therefore. What does mortify mean? Mortify is a very simple word. It means consider dead. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication. And again, fornication is, God defines fornication in the book of Hosea. It's going to anywhere else other than God for your sustenance and satisfaction. That's fornication. That's not fair. But it's what it, if you read Hosea, that's the definition of fornication. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. That's why we read the other day Revelation 17, which shows the whore sitting on. Then we read Romans 2, which is the description of the human race. And we're all those things.
What is concupiscence? Can you say it?
Inordinate affection. It means you, it's something that really grabs you. Hmm?
I haven't heard of that word.
And covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Now that's not called the Gentiles. That's the children, the believers, who are not who don't see this. For which things' sake, the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked some time, when you like lived in them. But now you also put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds, and you have put on the new, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. There's no more male or female. There's no more young or old. There's no more black or white. Any designation that you can give, there's no more. No more Jew. No more Gentile. We'll just read a couple more verses. Well, we'll wait until verse 17. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Charity here just is agape. It doesn't mean giving away money. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or a deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. There's another place where it says, whatever you do in thought, word, and deed, do heartily as unto the Lord. It's sort of essentially the same thing. But what does that mean? It doesn't mean you really do it good and you work hard to do it. It means that you never have an investment in the outcome. If you have an investment in the outcome of what you're doing, what is that called? It's called idolatry. So you have no investment. It matters not what the finished is, because you have whatsoever you're doing in thought, word, and deed is done unto the Father, not as unto men. Now, that's a biggie. To have no investment in the outcome. But I promise you, I've learned from very difficult experiences, that's the fundamental truth. If you're doing it as unto God, you have no investment in what happens. Well, that's enough for today. Anybody have any response? Somebody must have a little response.
Amen.
That means Lisa and I are free of our burdens.
You can't have a burden.
No burdens.
That's why I've talked a million times here. The real issue with regard to a believer is that you have nothing on you to cause you to have any reason to ever be not at peace.
Wow.
And if you can see, if you're not at peace about something, that has to be given to God.
I used to always laugh a little bit inside when you'd say, "Lies a feather." Now I don't anymore. Not laugh at you. It kind of was trite, but it rings true.
Well, that's what it means. You light as a feather no matter what's happening, no matter what happens to you.
Failed that test a few times.
Everything that's in your life at any given time is just another, see, it's a test to see if anything can bring you out of the rest. There's some pretty big tests, but if it brings you out of the rest, then Satan is won. The evil one is won. So that's why repentance is so critical. That's why the preaching of the cross is the power of God. Because if what your life doesn't match up to what a cross preaches, then there's got to be repentance. Amen.
Amen.
And sometimes repentance hurts like a son of a bitch. It's shameful to the old man. When you can honestly say that your mind has taken you to no place other than Him, that's. But if your mind takes you all these other places, you know, it's just, you don't have to go to all of it. You know, you can do it if you want to, but it's kind of silly. When everything is put before us as a free gift, all it does is cost us our life, which we didn't own anyway. But you can't live in both worlds. You can't live in two worlds. Then you're double-minded. All right, take it, big guy.